The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Because as we see these polls talking about black men moving away from Trump, they need to know what they're moving toward. Here's a man who committed himself to the execution of young black men.
Does having a convicted felon in a district like yours hurt Republicans?
My district's full of very smart people with a firm grasp of reality. They can smell bull.
So no issues nominating a convicted felon?
I have no issues in supporting Donald Trump for president of the United States.
I mean, you're running with a convicted felon at the top of your ticket.
A tainted process, not the same. And a lot of my constituents are focused on the fact of the trial not being fair, the process not being fair, and they're upset and they're angry.
Does it concern you having a convicted felon at the top of the ticket?
I think the American people saw what happened in New York. They saw two what were typically misdemeanors being elevated to 34 felonies.
Well, I think the choice is actually pretty clear. You know, we've got a convicted felon, and he's saying the system is rotten. I want to dismantle parts of the Constitution. I think that people should not respect the law. And so when you've got someone who is promising at the same time to be dictator for a day, and it'll never be for a day, as you know, it'll be for 4 years, if not for his lifetime, if that begins, at the same time as he's saying, I'm going to dismantle our rule of law, which is the glory of America, keeps the peace, assures fairness when it works for all Americans. You've got dictatorship and anarchy at the same time.
They say that they raised a combined $141 million with the Republican National Committee in May. That would match what President Biden and Democrats raised in March and April combined. I wonder if that worries you.
Look, we'll see if they, in fact, raise that money when they have to file their financial disclosures mid this month. But what's important is not the money that you're raising. What's important is what you do with it.
There you go. You've got the dictator. Anarchy's coming. He's the racist in chief. He's trying to execute black people. And yet he pulls in $141 million in the month of May. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, our last show on this trip, our last show from a remote location. We are still in Sarasota. We'll be moving to Jacksonville this afternoon to see another performance of Celtic Throne this evening before we then fly home late tonight. Jacksonville, by the way, I think there's almost 800 people that have secured tickets for that performance tonight. So if you're in the north of Florida or southern Georgia, make sure that you come and join us this evening for another exciting performance of Celtic Throne. I should say before we proceed that you can get to the live stream of this show at CelticThrone.com. Or if you go to the Rumble channel, just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. And speaking of Celtic Throne, we've kind of got a pile of feedback. We haven't even yet played the feedback from Fort Myers. That was last Thursday. And then, of course, the Sunday show, Sunday at Sarasota, 1,359 people in attendance. It was a record-breaking number. As far as the size of the crowd was concerned, we had some special guests, a few that that work over at Mar-a-Lago with President Trump and quite a few others that came along as well. We've established quite a few friends and contacts here in the great state of Florida. Not sure if I'll get to all of the special clips that we have, but just so that we get in one of these feedback clips, let's go ahead and play the feedback we got from Fort Myers. This would have been last Thursday, clip 11.
I thought it was wonderful. I thought visually it was great. The music was wonderful. There was always something going on the stage. And so your attention was drawn in a variety of different ways, but it wasn't distracting. So I thought that the whole show was wonderful in the first intermission.
Oh, it's fantastic. Amazing. Great dancers, singers, performers. The background is beautiful. Love it.
It's fantastic. We really are enjoying it.
What do you think?
It's good.
Amazing. Amazing. It's our first time seeing it. We've been hearing it from everyone in the PCG, so we were so excited to come out. It was great. Really looking forward to seeing it again.
It was good. It was great. I liked it.
I liked the dance and the singing.
I liked it. I wasn't expecting it to be like different ages, so that made it a lot more exciting to know that young generations are carrying on the Irish dance tradition.
Oh, it's wonderful. But no, the show was great. I love it. I loved it.
It was amazing. It was fabulous.
It was really good.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing. I have some Irish heritage, and it was really cool to see some of the dances of what was once my homeland. So it was very entertaining. It was very well choreographed. I really enjoyed it.
Amazing. I'm going to get this all over my website and all over Facebook, and I am thrilled with this. I am so surprised. So good. River dance plus some.
I thought it was great. Yeah, really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked it a lot.
Fantastic show. Best show I've seen. You guys, I can't believe the talent from the littlest all the way up. Absolutely fantastic.
It was phenomenal. These people remember all of these dances, and the little kids especially. Incredible. We would see it again when they come back, for sure.
It was very good. Excellent. We really enjoyed it. Yep. Yeah. Brought back memories of my Irish jig days.
Very good. Come again.
It was wonderful. It was beautiful. A great night to be here. It was really nice. Family. It looked family, so we enjoyed every moment.
Just awesome. Awesome. So, love the show.
So, you know, we really just went out there and gave 110% of our effort, 100% of the time, you know. So everyone really pulled their weight, and we couldn't be happier with the results. So, you know, everyone just went out there and did their best, so.
Oh, we loved it. It was a great family-focused event. It's great for the children. We just really enjoyed it as a whole family. Thank you very much. Well done. It was flawless and beautiful.
Good. It was fun to see it because I've danced on the stage before, but it was fun to see what it is from up in the audience.
It was fun to watch on the stage that we dance on every year.
Focus, God focused. I loved it. So well done.
Just fabulous. I've seen it the last 5 years on video.
Can you do me a favor?
And live stream.
A few steps.
But today was the first live performance. It was awesome.
I think it's really cool, and I do dance too, so I think like watching other people do it, it's cool to see their style.
I thought it was really cool. I remember watching like Michael Flatley and learn to dance when I was younger and starting it because of that. So it was really cool to see it again.
I just got lost. Like when they started dancing, I thought it was super cool, and I just like got caught in like this trance just watching them.
It is very good. It's very good. So yeah, like I love it. I love it.
Oh, it was absolutely stunning. All the costumes were incredible. The dancing was so beautiful. It was just mesmerizing the whole show, start to finish.
There you go. Always, always a lot of very, very positive feedback. That from Fort Myers, Florida. We had about 1,250. That was the new record as of last Thursday, only to be eclipsed by Sarasota on Sunday. So two spectacular shows here in Florida. And as I say, if you're in northern Florida, southern Georgia, just go to CelticThrone.com, and you can find out where we're playing. We're in Florida. One last time this evening, Jacksonville, and then they move on to Atlanta Thursday night. And then they conclude the Southeast tour on Monday at the Ryman Theater, the iconic hall in Nashville, Tennessee. Then they return to Edmond for a one-week break before then taking off to the Southwest. And again, you can find out all of those stops on this particular tour at CelticThrone.com. So $141 million, That's quite a haul for the Republican Party. And this comes at a time when Donald Trump, when they take two misdemeanors and they inject them with lawfare steroids to create 34 felony counts. He's convicted on all 34. And yet, as you heard there in the opening, the cold opening, people know, don't they? You had that one representative that says, look, my people, my constituents back home, they're smart enough to know that this is lawfare. They're smart enough to know that this has been unleashed by Joe Obama's DOJ. Merrick Garland, by the way, he's on, there's a hearing today with respect to the DOJ, at least with respect to the questioning that Matt Gaetz put before him. And he asked about, look, how much communication have you had with Alvin Bragg, with Tish James, with Fannie Willis? Where was that particular clip 9? Play that one.
Attorney General, you've told us that it's a dangerous conspiracy theory to allege that the Department of Justice is communicating with these state and local prosecutions against Trump. You can clear it all up for us right now. Will the Department of Justice provide to the committee all documents, all correspondence between the department and Alvin Bragg's office and Fannie Willis's office and Letitia James's office?
The offices you're referring to are independent offices of state.
I get that. State. The question is whether or not you will provide all of your documents and correspondence. That's the question. I don't need a history lesson.
Well, I'm going to say again, we do not control those offices. They make their own
decisions.
The question
is whether you communicate with them, not whether you control them. Do you communicate with them, and will you provide those communications?
If you make a request, we'll refer it to our Office of Legislative Affairs.
But see, here's the thing. You lodge this attack that it's a conspiracy theory that there is coordinated lawfare against Trump. And then when we say, fine, just give us the documents, give us the correspondence, and then if it's a conspiracy theory, that will be evident. But when you say, well, we'll take your request, and then we'll sort of work it through the DOJ's accommodation process, then you're actually advancing the very dangerous conspiracy theory that you're concerned about.
They don't even answer the questions, because they know they can just keep getting away with it. So they stonewall, they beat around the bush. He just asked a very simple question there. If you say this is a conspiracy theory, then let us see all your communications with these courts, with these attorneys. But Garland won't do it. It's just like Fauci's testimony yesterday. He gets up there. He's been exposed as a fraud, as a liar. He's responsible for mass death. And yet he's able to get up there. Never mind. I mean, okay. MTG gave him some, you know, put him under the hot seat. Okay. McCormick did. But then in the end, what happens? Fauci gets up, he goes over and he shakes everyone's hand and he smiles and he laughs. No one's held to account. And yet still, the Trump tide just keeps moving. That's because people see the two-tiered standard of justice. They see all the corruption. They see the attacks, the persecution aimed at Donald Trump. You know, Sam and I were able to tour through Mar-a-Lago yesterday, and then we went on from there. We were invited into Trump's golf club, the Trump International, there in Palm Beach. I think it was the first golf club that he designed and built going back decades. Now he's got golf courses and clubs and hotels all over the world. I mean, you can see what he's done for this nation and beyond. You can see what he's built. There's no doubting the fruits of that man's labors. You see it right in front of you. What have these others done besides fundamentally transform the United States of America? I mean, you walk into Mar-a-Lago, as one woman said that was there with us. We went into one entrance, this grand entrance with a gold-plated door. And she says, yeah, every time I come in here, they've added more gold. This is America's palace in so many ways. I mean, we're not used to this kind of quality, this high of a standard. There was someone who testified yesterday in Congress that No, it was Al Sharpton on MSNBC. He said Trump never pays his bills. Where did they come up with this? As I say, the fruits of his labors, they're all over the world. You can't walk through the entrance of Mar-a-Lago and conclude, like that one judge in New York, that corrupt judge in New York concluded, that it's only worth 15, 16, 17 million. I mean, this is worth hundreds of millions of dollars, this property. And not like that's important, but look, they're taking him to court over supposedly overvaluing his assets. And then Sharpton just casually says he never pays his bills. You can't visit one of his resorts or hotels and say, you know, here's a failure. That's right. This is a failure in every respect. Here's a guy that doesn't pay his bills. They lie. They lie. It wasn't 2 seconds ago, and they were just screaming and cheering over the fact that Joe Biden, together with Barack Obama and all the celebrities, they got together in New York, remember, and they pulled in $25 million. And Donald Trump nearly doubled that record a week or two later. And then all these convictions in May, and guess what? $141 million. And the best that the spokespeople can say is that, well, we don't know for sure if they pulled in that many or that much. So they just assume that Donald Trump's people are lying. Well, of course. How easy is that? How easy is it for Fauci or Garland or whoever to come before any committee and to just basically say, you know what, we're not guilty of anything. Everything's above board. These people are so corrupt. They're so deluded. And they're never held to account. And the best, here's another sad part of this story. The best that Republicans can put together is some kind of a committee hearing or a strongly worded letter. I heard a little bit from MTG this morning on Steve Bannon. I mean, she's just furious because Mike Johnson and others, they control the purse strings. But they won't use their power to actually make it hurt for these corrupt Marxist Democrats. They won't. They just can't do it. They don't have the strength. They don't have the courage. There's only so few that actually have that courage. That, you know, when Donald Trump walked into the clubhouse yesterday when we were there having lunch, everybody there cheered for him. Of course, that's his home turf. You would expect that. But they're cheering for him across the nation. They love Donald Trump. They love the fact that he, well, just on the Sunday show with Fox, he talked about closing the Department of Education. This, by the way, this is something that General Michael Flynn brought up not that long ago when he spoke at Armstrong Auditorium. And he's in regular communication with Donald Trump, as are some of the people we went to the show with the other night in Sarasota. Listen to a bit from Donald Trump's interview with Fox on Sunday, clip 4.
$34 trillion in debt. I think that means we're paying almost $1 trillion in interest.
I'll give you an example.
Is it every month?
I'll give you,
every year.
Yeah, you mentioned the kids. So we're going to cut the Department of Education, let it be run locally. We have this mess.
Department of Education,
ended,
Federal Department
ended
of Education.
Other than to have a little tiny coordination. You know, it would be nice to make sure that everybody's teaching English.
Yeah.
You know, let them learn English, okay?
I love this.
But no, we're cutting the Department of Education. I was ready to do it before.
Cutting the Department of Education. Do you really think there's anyone across America that would protest that sort of action? No, most people would say cut a bunch of other agencies as well. We've talked to people just on this trip associated with Donald Trump who've said we need to disband the FBI as well. Look at, they're corrupt. They're the strong arm of the Marxist administration. They're not upholding law and order. They're undermining it. And you see why the Trump tide is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And there's prophecies, by the way, to indicate that Britain's going to be on that tide as well. Richard wrote in his morning brief today, Britain's coming election got a major shakeup yesterday. Nigel Farage led the Brexit movement for years and played a major role in Britain leaving the EU. He initially planned to sit out the general election, saying he hadn't had time to prepare with all the work that he had put into his TV show. Yesterday, he announced that he was He had changed his mind. He will now lead the new Reform UK party for the next 5 years and will stand for the Clacton-on-Sea parliamentary seat. Melanie Phillips is the one that wrote about this yesterday. Is this, as she put it, is this Britain's Donald Trump? Is this all part of the red wave that's going to reverse this radical transformation in the United States of America and in Britain as well? Richard Palmer writes, it certainly makes Britain's election more interesting. Bible prophecy indicates that Britain may have a revival alongside America's. Certainly the fate of Britain, America, and the nation of Israel are closely aligned. It says Nigel Farage's return to politics could play a role in this. And for more on where the United States and Britain and little Judah in the Middle East, where we fit into Bible prophecy, make sure that you request our free book. This is Herbert Armstrong's classic text on Bible prophecy. It's titled The United States and Britain in Prophecy. You can call the 800 number to request your free copy, or go over to our website where we have all the literature. That's at thetrumpet.com. This is from Fauci's. Well, just to back up a little bit, Fauci's there yesterday, his opening statement. Well, maybe we could start with his opening statement, where he comes out and basically says, you know, haven't done anything wrong. Don't know what these other guys are saying when they talk about how that we dealt in, you know, our private email addresses so that we could avoid any kind of FOIA request later on. We tried to cover up. We tried to cover our tracks. And then here comes Fauci yesterday to say, no, we didn't cover our tracks. We were completely above board. We were totally open-minded. We did everything just by the book, right? Words, more words, flatteries, lies, deception. Play clip six.
I will now use my remaining time to directly address certain issues that have been seriously distorted concerning me. The first issue concerns my actions regarding the possibility that SARS-CoV-2 might have resulted from a lab leak. The accusation being circulated that I influenced these scientists to change their minds by bribing them with millions of dollars in grant money is absolutely false and simply preposterous. The second issue is a false accusation that I tried to cover up the possibility that the virus originated from a lab.
There you go. It's just preposterous for anyone to question my expertise. Remember, this is the guy who said he was science. So you were not to question him. You were not to question the 6-foot rule, social distancing, the masks, the shutting down businesses, none of that. You just believe in science, falsely so-called, as the Apostle Paul said. Just to, again, give you the backstory here. They know their biggest enemy is transparency. They want to be able to cover everything up along the way and just tell you what you're supposed to do. And the only thing you'll ever get out of them is that, well, the science does change. So, you know, we adapt and we grow and we, you know, we go along with the, don't question us whatsoever. You just believe. It's will worship, in other words, to use the language in Colossians chapter two. This was from Fox News. A couple weeks ago. It says here, this is an ex-Fauci advisor talking about how that they used to communicate. He says here, or this is Fox rather, hours after the release of several seemingly damning emails revealing his provocative COVID-era communications, a former top advisor to Dr. Anthony Fauci offered excuses and apologies, but few real answers during a contentious congressional showdown. So a few apologies in the case of this lower level guy, but mostly excuses. With Fauci, you don't get anything. You don't get any apology whatsoever, as you heard from his opening statement there. It says here, in one of the newly released emails, Daszak Morins, he's the other guy, said he learned from our FOIA lady here how to make emails disappear after I'm FOIA'd. But before the search starts, so I think we're all safe. This is a quote from one of Fauci's guys. Plus, I deleted most of those earlier emails after sending them to Gmail. And you know what his response was in the hearing that he had? Morins is his name. He said, well, it's just a joke. I was just joking. If only President Trump could get off with that defense. Yeah, okay, I was just joking. Of course, Trump didn't even commit any crimes. But supposing he went before a court and said that, well, I mean, if you're saying this is criminal activity, well, I can argue that it's just a joke. I'm just kidding. It says here, during Wednesday's testimony, and again, this is from a week or two ago, said it was a joke. Morins also wrote from his personal email account to Daszak saying, we're all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns. And if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails. I mean, the money flowing in from Big Pharma, amounting really to hundreds of millions, perhaps billions. Anthony Fauci made Pfizer and all the rest of them. They were just making money hand over fist. They love Anthony Fauci. And they love to bribe other politicians. Big Pharma, I mean. How many are on the take? Maybe McCormick isn't. Maybe MTG, but who else? Who on the Republican side's on the take? You have to wonder. They throw a few questions at Fauci, and then that's the end of it. Marjorie Taylor Greene's right. He should be in prison. He should be locked up. I mean, he's committed actual crimes, quite unlike Donald Trump. Look at what they're trying to put Trump in prison for. A clerical error? Because he didn't mark something right in his accounting book? That's right. Two expired misdemeanors. And look at what Joe Obama's turned it into. Look at what the dear leader has done with those two misdemeanors. They want to throw Trump in prison for, what, 130 years over that? That's right. And then these crimes just continue. It's only five years ago when they shut the world down, basically. And of course, the other thing you never hear in these hearings is how closely it's all connected to the election steal of November 2020. They really needed a scamdemic so that they could send out 100 million mail-in votes, mail-in ballots. 100 million. They just flooded the nation with ballots. And they were able to make use of those ballots all floating around out there, particularly in the swing states. You can read a lot more about that connection I'm talking about in my father's book, America Under Attack. Here again, go to our website, thetrumpet.com, or call the 800 number and request America Under Attack. It says Morins also wrote in his, I read that part. It says, in other released emails, Morins appeared to express concerns about what was being sent to his work email and what was sent to his personal email, informing those on the email chain that they did not need to worry and that he would delete anything I don't want to see in the New York Times. I guess that was just a joke. I guess he's a pretty good comedian, isn't he? Morins and Daszak and Fauci, all of them comedians, just joking all the time about sending their communications through private email so that they couldn't be retrieved during a FOIA request. And then, you know, misspelling words so that they wouldn't be found in a search. Deleting emails. These people are obstructing justice. And so they get to the end of the hearing, and what does he do? Fauci gets up, he goes over and he shakes everyone's hand. He smiles, they laugh. Everyone, Democrat, Republican, oh yes. It's a swamp, isn't it? There's another email where Morins said to Peter Daszak, I can either send stuff to Tony, that would be Tony Fauci, on his private Gmail or hand it to him at work or at his house. He is too smart to let colleagues send him stuff that could cause trouble. Tony's just too smart. Tony knows how to get around FOIA requests. Tony, he knows how to cover things up. Tony doesn't like transparency. Tony doesn't like being on the hot seat, but he can put up with it for a few hours So long as he knows he's never going to be held to account. So long as he knows that he's never going to go to prison. In the morning brief, again, this is from Richard Palmer. Someone else returned to the headlines yesterday. Dr. Anthony Fauci testified before the House Select Subcommittee on the coronavirus pandemic. Even before he spoke, a transcript of an interview he gave in January was published where he admitted to making up many of the COVID rules. He just made it up. He just made it up. I forget the, who is it, Neil Ferguson? Is that the guy from the UK? Say, he's America's Neil Ferguson. Remember him? He was just making things up over in the UK. We were living there at the time. Even as he was crossing London in the middle of the night to go spend time with his paramour. This is crazy. These are the people. Like I mentioned last week on this show, the people that are attacking Donald Trump, you just scratch the surface on their personal lives and you find some pretty ugly things very quickly. And yet they go after Trump as Bob De Niro did, the Hollywood actor. He's pointing at Trump saying, Trump's a sinner. I mean, De Niro knows. He knows who the sinner is. And he sees himself as righteous. Oh, yes. He couldn't remember where the 6-foot social distance rule or masks for school kids came from. And he admitted that there are no studies to support them. Others have admitted that, this is from Richard Palmer's trumpet brief. Others have admitted the same thing before. But now we have confirmation from America's top health official during the pandemic. It says during the testimony, this is speaking of yesterday's testimony, Republican congressmen continued to expose the unscientific nature of these rules and pressed Fauci on his role in covering up evidence that COVID-19 leaked from a lab. Remember when they said that was a conspiracy theory? The lab leak? And they went on and on. Fauci led the way. On and on about the animals and so on. Here's a little bit from that hearing yesterday. This is clip 5.
We have him highlighted right now on the screen, but that person, that's Brandon Fellows. He's actually a January 6th defendant who was removed from the hearing later on. And as he was leaving, I don't know if you could hear him, but we heard him on camera shouting that he believed also that you belong in prison. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear it, but it was brought to my attention before. And there was also someone behind me, I don't know if it was the same person, who was identified as someone who just got out of jail for being arrested for the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Now, what's somebody like that doing at a hearing about COVID?
I mean, it was remarkable just to see who was in that room today. And
so that wasn't from the hearing specifically, as I mentioned, but it's Fauci running to CNN after the hearing because he knows he's on. I mean, that's friendly territory. So he's going to get some softball questions from Caitlin, as he did there. And he can't understand, well, what's this guy? He got out of jail for attacking the Capitol. What's he doing at a hearing on COVID? People want these corrupt traitors held to account. That's why they're showing up. And Caitlin's kind of marveling at the fact, yeah, I mean, just looking at the people that came out, they want them to have to answer for their crimes. But you can see they're in the power position at the moment. And so they're able to kind of look down their nose at these dirty January 6th protesters and say, what's he even doing here at this hearing? I mean, he was in jail for attacking the Capitol. They send those people to jail, but certainly not Tony Fauci for covering up his crimes, for deleting emails, for dealing in some cases just word of mouth with his cronies. So that it never sees the light of day. And yet more and more of it is seeing the light of day. And you have evidence now that they just made it up. Look at the lives that were destroyed. Look at the suicides that happened as a result. Look at the young people that now have learning disabilities because they were shut up in the basement for a year and a half. It's outrageous. They got away with it. Didn't they? They got away with all of it. They got away with their crimes, just like Hunter's gotten away with his crimes. I saw a tweet today, by the way, that said, look, you're saying Hunter's getting away with everything, yet he's in court for all of these things you're upset about. So the system works, does it? This is from Town Hall. It says, of the jury, this is, keep in mind, they desperately wanted that case to play out in Manhattan because they know that in Manhattan, Donald Trump is public enemy number one. And whereas Hunter Biden's lawsuit or court case over the gun charge and other things, of course it's in Delaware, where the Biden family comes from, where the Biden family is, I mean, they're celebrities, they're popular. Town Hall says here, of the jury pool, many knew the Bidens in some way. It was like six degrees of separation, Delaware edition. One potential juror said he used to play squash with Bo Biden, Hunter's late brother, and competed in at least one tournament together. But because he knew the Biden family fairly well and felt he couldn't be impartial, the juror was dismissed. Another one says, another paragraph, another prospective juror worked at the same school as Jill Biden. However, he was allowed to remain on the jury, that is, or the selection anyway. One woman was a bartender at the Two Stones Pub in Kennett Square, where she on and off served Hunter's uncle, John T. Owens, the brother-in-law. In other words, they all know each other. I mean, Delaware is a small little state. The Bidens have been there for decades. It says apparently in Delaware, whether you've ever bumped into Biden is a test of whether you're a tried and true resident worthy of calling yourself a Delawarean. It says finally, according to the musings of Delaware Online, there's a saying in some circles around Delaware which points out the ubiquitousness of the president across his home state. It says, if you haven't met Joe Biden, you're not really a Delawarean. Jesse Waters commented on the jury selection process for the Hunter Biden trial on his program last night. Notice clip 8.
News reports one juror's childhood best friend died from a heroin overdose. Another juror has an alcoholic brother-in-law. He called it a disease. Brother-in-law is now dead. One juror's dad was shot dead, and his brother was arrested for narcotics possession. Another juror pled guilty to a DUI. Another juror had an older brother addicted to PCP and heroin, but doesn't think people should own guns if they're addicted to drugs. Although another juror says weed's no big deal and you should be able to buy a gun on it. And another juror worked for the Secret Service. Her husband still in the Secret Service. Ashley Biden reportedly smiling when she heard that. Oh, and there's an Obama donor as an alternate.
There's no chance of any kind of conviction here. If anything, it'll just be a slap on the wrist. The system is rigged, as President Trump keeps saying. It was rigged against Trump in Manhattan, and it's rigged in favor of the Bidens in Delaware. And of course, for their part, you know, the regime media, they're just going to ignore the Hunter Biden case. This is from Newsbusters. It says, while Hunter isn't on the same level as former President Trump, he is still the son of the current president. And therefore, his gun trial should garner a lot of attention. And it probably would if ABC, CBS, NBC weren't so in the tank for Team Biden. But they're in the tank. So they ignore it. That's the way they operate. I mean, even Bill Maher called them out on this. The regime, that is, the regime media. I said it to Anderson Cooper. He says, not even so much what you're always saying, it's what you leave out. It's what you don't tell. Here's a case where they're going to leave it out. Here's a case where they don't cover the Hunter Biden trial. It says, if their refusal to cover any of the recent Biden family scandals is a guide, don't expect ABC, CBS, NBC to plaster their evening and morning shows with reports on Hunter Biden's gun trial. Just don't expect it. It's not going to be there. So, and this article goes on and talks about the five Forget about the gun charge. The five Biden scandals that the regime media just pretty much ignores top to bottom. Pretty amazing. I thought this story from PJ Media was pretty interesting, too. Again, just to come back to this point about the two-tiered standard of justice. I mean, they've gotten Donald Trump in that Manhattan jury. They got him on a non-disclosure statement or an NDA. They've gotten him on, you know, paying this porn star to shut up, basically, to just keep quiet. PJ Media says here, according to the radical left, a payment to silence someone from making potentially damaging statements to influence the outcome of a presidential election is a serious crime. It's so serious. When Donald Trump does it, then it's a crime. You know, and Trump's out there making the point that it's not only legal, it's common. It happens all the time. It says here, a felony at that. That's the entirely hocus-pocus legal theory behind Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's case against Donald Trump that resulted in a conviction. It says, in that case, Barack Obama ought to be charged with a similar crime. And this article goes into how Obama, the dear leader, he offered to pay Jeremiah Wright. Back in 2008, he offered to pay Jeremiah Wright has come forward and basically confirmed this. He offered to pay him money to keep his mouth shut. And it was happening during a presidential campaign. How about that? It says here, Obama also offered hush money to someone specifically to influence the 2008 election. The media never talked about it. And you can bet they'd have some amusing and laughable explanation for why what Obama did was different. You see, well, with the dear leader, it's different. That's the way Merrick Garland thinks. That's the way Jim Comey thinks. Clapper, Brennan, all of them. Biden. I mean, when they do it now, it's righteous, you see. They have their standard of what's righteous and pure and just and what's not. It says here, the fact that Obama has been accused of offering money to his former pastor, Jeremiah Wright, to buy his silence during the 2008 presidential campaign. It says, as you will recall, Wright's inflammatory anti-American rhetoric was a huge problem for Obama during his first campaign. Edward Klein wrote, or rather broke the story in the New York Post on May 13th, 2012. This is a story 12 years old. But it doesn't matter. Just sweep it under the rug. It's no big deal. Obama's just, you know, he's just doing what's right. He's just trying to shut the mouth of his former pastor, who had so many vile things to say about white people, about America, you name it. You got to keep him quiet. It says here, Obama himself tried to get involved to seal the deal. So he sent out some of his cronies to go and try to make this deal. Wright wouldn't bite. And so then Obama himself tried to make it happen. Did Obama himself ever make an effort to see you? This is from this guy's reporting, Edward Klein. Yes, Wright said. He's quoting Jeremiah Wright. Barack said he wanted to meet me in secret, in a secure place. And I said, you're used to coming to my home. You've been here countless times. So what's wrong with coming to my home? Well, it can't be something where it gets some publicity. So we've got to be secretive about this. We've got to cover this up. This is the way Fauci thinks. That's the way Merrick Garland thinks. Can we just get the communications you've had with Alvin Bragg? No, they operate independently. But have you had any communications? Not going to say. Hey, you can put in your request and we'll see if we honor that. That's Garland's response to Matt Gaetz. And even when they're exposed, even when there's other means by which you have them on tape, even when they're caught in the act, they get up in front of the cameras, they come out with their opening statement, and they say, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know why so-and-so would say that about me. I mean, I'm squeaky clean here. There's no problem. Why are you even looking into me? Everything I've done, I mean, it's pure as the driven snow. Obama himself tried to make this happen. You used to come into my home, said Jeremiah Wright. So we met in the living room of the parsonage of Trinity United Church of Christ at South Pleasant Avenue, right off 95th Street. This is quoting Jeremiah Wright. Barack and me, I don't know if he had a wire on him. His security was outside somewhere. And one of the first things Barack said was, I really wish you wouldn't do any more public speaking until after the November election. Election interference. There you have it. He's trying to manipulate he's trying to keep information from the American people. Can you imagine Barack Obama doing that? What else did they do? What did they do in 2012? Well, we know a lot of what they did in 2016, all the spying on Trump. And then we know they rigged the election entirely. And they needed the scamdemic to do it, for sure. That happened in 2020. And what are they prepared to do ahead of the 2024 election? Well, you don't need me to tell you what they're prepared to do. Anything. Anything. Put Donald Trump in prison for a misdemeanor. Whatever it takes. The end justifies the means. Just put him behind bars. I really wish you wouldn't do any more public speaking until after the November election. He knew I had some speaking engagements lined up, says Jeremiah Wright. And he said, I wish you wouldn't speak. It's going to hurt the campaign if you do that. That's PJ Media. You think that's going to get any airplay on Morning Joe, the Morning Meltdown? You think they're going to be talking about this or reminding their readers of this at the New York Times or the Washington Post? Not a chance. Just cover it up. Hunter Biden, his trial, don't report on it. Don't even talk about it. Just cover it up. Well, to go back to that cold open, that representative, the Republican, who said, you know, I think my constituents, they're smart enough to see through all of this. And this is why the Trump tide continues to move forward. It's an unstoppable force. Of course, my father says in America Under Attack, we've been saying it for years. We said it the day after the regime media anointed Joe Biden as king, basically, back in November of 2020. We said Donald Trump is coming back. And how many times in these past 3.5 years have we heard them say, Trump is finished. Trump is finished. It didn't look like it when he came into his clubhouse yesterday after golfing. I think he only got in 14 holes because of rain. But it certainly didn't look like he's finished. He came in with confidence. We bumped into Don Jr. as well. This is a confident family. Some might say a little overconfident at times, but look at the fruits. Look at the fruits. And more and more, as I said on a program a week or two ago, I mean, you've got Trump out there saying or admitting where he got it wrong the first time around as president. You know, appointing Jeff Sessions and then later Bill Barr. And you see now just how weak so many of these individuals were. Even when they were working for Donald Trump. You compare that with those that actually enthusiastically support his agenda. Guys like Ken Paxton. We bumped into him yesterday as well. Hopefully we can get some of these individuals on the Trumpet Daily at some point. But you see it with guys that are on board. You see them just gaining momentum. You see them gaining support. Just one last bit. This is from America, American Greatness. It says, at risk, just talking about what this next election really is about. It's about continuing the Obama revolution. It's about continuing the fundamental transformation. It says, at root, this radical neo-Marxist revolution started under the Obama administration with the declaration to fundamentally transform America and has continued under the Biden administration. You see, it's all part of the fundamental transformation of the United States. And were it not for God, just to go back to 2 Kings 14, God intervening to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam, America would be ruined ruined by this communist attack from within. But God will intervene. You can read so much more about that in America Under Attack. I want to save a few minutes for, we'll save our Behind the Work segment for tomorrow. Tomorrow we'll be back in the studio in Edmond, Oklahoma, but to just again get you excited about tonight's show in Jacksonville, Florida, we'll play some feedback from the Sarasota show the other night. If we have time to squeeze in a promo, we'll do that first and then come back and finish today's show with more feedback on Celtic Throne.
Daily News, Bible Prophecy. See the connection on The Trumpet Daily. Are you feeling overwhelmed by the flood of news and information? You need something to sift the news and bring you only what matters most. You need The Trumpet Daily. You also need something to help you understand not just what's happening now, but what will happen next. You need The Trumpet Daily. Only The Trumpet Daily accurately matches daily news to precise Bible prophecies. Because Bible prophecy is the only tool up to the task of sifting the news down to what's important and showing you what will happen next. Join host Stephen Fleury every weekday. Go to trumpetdaily.com.
We're here to see her nephews.
Okay.
Jordan and
Jonathan
Salenga.
Okay. And I thought it was superb. Great. It was a beautiful show.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was lovely. And their skill, and they're so skilled and talented.
Choreography was very good, and I love the dancing and the music. It was very amazing. And great show to come to.
That was great. That was great.
Great job. Oh, it's fantastic. Everybody did fantastic.
Oh, I loved it. I've seen it several times, and I love it every time.
Awesome.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
I can't describe it in words. It was just awesome. I guess that's all I can say.
Very, very cool show with a lot of energy and a lot of synchronization, and we were really thrilled to watch it, for sure.
The show was absolutely stunning, amazing, beautiful.
It was just wonderful. Just wonderful.
You guys did an amazing job.
The most exhilarating show I've ever seen in Sarasota.
Just a fantastic show. Really wonderful. Yes. And I mean, I do Irish dancing as an adult, a beginner, but it's wonderful, absolutely outstanding.
Oh yeah, hey, we really enjoyed everything that we've seen. What a wonderful group of young people that show the talent and experience of the older people without being old. Really, what a group of kids this is.
You know, you've got some good boys in it, and you guys are, you know, good character.
I appreciate it.
It's not just a show, you know, it's real.
I think you, if you don't have the skills like dancing or singing, have to admire people who have a passion for entertaining, and it takes a lot of discipline to do what you do as a dancer, and I appreciate that you go out in front of a crowd and show and display those skills, because not a lot of people want to do things in front of crowds, and you're willing to do that. And if it weren't for people like you, then we would have so little in the theater. So thank you very much for doing that.
In the very beginning, the first, I just thought it was electrifying. I think the crowd was definitely behind it more than I have seen, especially in Fort Myers. The crowd, you had two full standing ovations, and then, like I said, throughout the whole show, maybe three or four partial standing ovations. So it was awesome. Watching the crowd, I think, was the best part.
Choreography is second to none. Absolutely awesome. The whole thing, from start to finish, I couldn't say a bad word about it. It's brilliant. Right down to the wee child that was four?
Yes.
Perfect timing, everything.
The show was absolutely amazing from start to finish, and the cast are just incredible.
It was awesome.
awesome. Really, really great.
Yeah, I would definitely come to another Celtic Thunder show.
Oh, I thought it was awesome.
It was great.
Fabulous.
It was awesome. Totally awesome. It was like
amazing. It was amazing.
So good. We loved it.
That was like the best show I've ever seen.
Very good. Very good show.